Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. We appreciate you listening this morning, this evening. We announced last week that tonight we were going to talk about homosexuality, gay marriage, those type issues. I want to start by reading a passage, I think a sentinel passage on the issue. It's in the New Testament, Romans 1, 24, and then 26 through 27. Here's how it reads. Wherefore, God also gave them up unto uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. That's talking about lesbians. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. This passage in the Bible, I think, is very, very clear. It condemns severely the sin of homosexuality. It condemns both types as we think of them. Women with women, lesbians, men with men, we call that gay, homosexuals. Notice the words the text uses to describe homosexuals. Uncleanness, dishonor, change the natural use, against nature, leaving the natural use, unseemly, error, vile. These are all terms that show that God disapproves of this practice. We've seen a big change in our society in the last 10 or 20 years, and it went real quickly. The acceptance of homosexuality, the acceptance of gay marriage, but this passage shows that it's a sin, that it's wrong. What about gay marriage itself? Sometimes in debate with gay preachers, and you've probably heard people make this point, they say, well, Jesus didn't say anything against homosexuality, Jesus himself. Now, that's kind of strange that somebody would say that, considering that Paul, who wrote what we just read in Romans 1, said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. While Jesus was on the earth, before he left, he said that to the apostles that the Holy Spirit would come and guide them into all the truth. So what Paul wrote in Romans and 1 Corinthians and these other passages, that's Jesus' law, in effect, just indirectly through the apostles and the inspired New Testament prophets. But that argument is nonetheless still wrong, because Jesus did speak to this issue in Matthew 19, verses 4 and 5. Jesus here is referring back to the institution of marriage when it all first began, back in Genesis 3 in Adam and Eve. He says, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Do you see that? This is what Jesus is saying about marriage, how marriage is defined. He said, in the beginning, God made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. According to Jesus himself, marriage is supposed to be between male and female. I like this little cutesy saying that sums it up well. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Now, if you have a Bible question or a comment on this biblical topic or any other Bible topic, I want you to give us a call, 1-877-655-6755. That's 1-877-655-6755. If you have a Bible question or a comment on this issue of homosexuality and gay marriage. Now, we've talked about what the New Testament says on homosexuality, on gay marriage. I want us to look back now at what the Old Testament says on this. For example, we read in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Do you see that? If a man lies with another man as he would lie with a woman, it's not talking about if two men happen to sleep in the same bed in a hotel room on a trip to try to save money. It's not talking about that. It says if a man lies with another man as he lies with a woman, relations we're talking about there. It says both of them have committed an abomination. So the New Testament condemns homosexuality. Now, we're not under the Old Testament law today, of course, but the Old Testament also condemned homosexuality. This idea that our society has come up with, that gay marriage is accepted, it's not accepted by God. And just because people, and sometimes many churches, have changed on their position, their stance on gay marriage, just because people have changed, many preachers have changed, it doesn't mean that God has changed. The Bible hasn't changed. It still says the same thing that it did many years ago, and that is, this is a sin. Homosexuality is never right. Again, if you have a Bible question or a comment on this topic or any other Bible topic, please call us at 1-877-655-6755. That's 1-877-655-6755. You know, not only did the Old Testament condemn homosexuality, it, in effect, put the sin in the same category as bestiality. Or I like to mispronounce that word and call it bestiality so you know what I'm talking about. That is, a man or a woman having relations with an animal, a beast. Let's notice this from Leviticus chapter 18, verses 22 and 23. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Well, that's just like what we read in Leviticus 20:13. But then it goes on to say, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is a confusion. Notice, let's read this again. Leviticus 18:22-23. Thou shalt not lie with womankind. Excuse me, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. You see, the Bible is saying, basically, that it's abomination for a man to have relations, sexual relations with another man. And it's put into the same category as if a man were to have relations with an animal. And if a woman were to have relations with an animal. I know that sounds kind of harsh, but we need to be frank with people and what the Bible actually say, because we have people out there who are claiming to be believers, claiming to be Christians, whole churches, including the church that was we brought up last week in this regard, the Presbyterian Church of the USA. Whole churches have changed their stance on this and now are saying that it's compatible with Christian teaching for a man to marry a man or a woman to marry a woman. When the Bible is very clear in the Old Testament and New Testament that it's absolutely an abomination, that it's wrong. Again, if you have a Bible question or a comment on this or any other Bible topic, please call us at 1-877-655-6755. Let's look at some other passages in the New Testament. You know, before we do that, I want to emphasize what Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32. He said, "If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, to be a true disciple, according to that passage, we have to continue in God's Word, Jesus' Word. That means we study His Word, find out what it says, and obey that. That's what continuing in His Word means. And unless we do that, we cannot truly be Jesus' disciple. I mean, Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" Then Jesus goes on to say in verse 32, that is, if we'll continue in His Word, then we will know the truth, and the truth will make us free. The context is talking about being made free from sin. This shows that something different from the truth, false religious teaching, error, will not set us free from sin. It will cause us to be lost. That's how important it is that we believe, teach, and practice the truth. Lee from Idaho, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
What about the bakeries? The bakeries losing their licenses, but the bakeries?
Yeah, you're talking about the bakeries who don't want to make wedding cakes for those who are having gay marriages, gay wedding ceremonies?
Yeah.
Well, I agree with their stance. Lee, I want you to look at this passage with me and tell me what you think. In 2 John, we're looking at verses 9 through 11. First, in verse 9, it says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." This shows, Lee, that we have to abide in the doctrine, the teaching of Christ, else we don't have God. We can't be saved. That's how important it is that we get doctrine right, that we believe, teach, and practice what the Bible says in religion. Now let's move on to verses 10 and 11, which reads, "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." Lee, you know, as a matter of course, in the laws of our country, you can be an accomplice to a crime, right?
Yeah.
So verse 9 is talking about, I must abide in the teaching of Christ. Verses 10 and 11 is about, suppose somebody else is not abiding in the teaching of Christ. It says, I'm not to bid them Godspeed. In other words, I'm not to help them sin or encourage them in their sin. If I do, I become a partaker in their evil deeds, even though I didn't commit the sin myself. And that's what the bakeries are saying, is they don't want to encourage gay marriage because the Bible condemns it. The Old Testament calls it abomination. They don't want to bid Godspeed to it because they don't want to become a partaker in the evil deeds of the gays, the gay men and the lesbians marrying. Does that make sense, Lee?
No.
No? Tell me why not.
I'm not sure if it's just the culture nowadays. It's just so unusual nowadays.
What about nowadays?
The culture.
The culture? What about the culture?
I think it's so new. I just said, it's changed now.
Thank you for your call. You know, in passages that what we just quoted a while ago, like John 16:13, Jesus said, "When I leave, the Holy Spirit is going to come, and He's going to guide you into all the truth." He didn't say that He's going to talk about culture. That's not what the Bible is about. It's about culture. The Bible is about the truth, telling us the truth, and it doesn't change with culture. This sin of homosexuality has been a sin from the very beginning. Old Testament, New Testament. Culture changing doesn't change what the truth on this issue is. And the people who won't bake the wedding cakes are absolutely right, because they don't want to become a partaker in the evil deeds of others. And so they don't encourage these homosexuals in their sin by providing, cooking, baking the wedding cake for the gay marriage. I absolutely sympathize with them, and I think that what we should do is let the bakeries do what they want to do and bake the cakes for whoever they want to. And if those people getting married, gay marriages, which is absolutely a sin, if they're going to do it anyway, they need to find a place to bake their cake that doesn't have a problem with it. Richard from North Carolina, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, I just got a couple of comments. I agree with you 100%. And my personal opinion, I believe it is almost like an illness or satanic forces, evil spirits. And it causes a person to have the same condition that causes a man to become a pedophile. Just one man prefers a grown adult, the other one prefers a young child. But it's basically the same as homosexuality. And, the Bible, 2 Corinthians. Now, a lot of people who agree with homosexuality say that, well, times have changed. Well, it's our society and the popular culture that has been created by people who are ungodly, or people who are only creating a popular culture to finance their own self-worth, their own needs. But 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, "Be ye not unequally separated with unbelievers." And if you go down to verse 17, it says, "Therefore come out from among them and be ye separate, so you have to lower it. And for some of the churches who say it's okay now to be equal with homosexuals and homosexuals, when the Bible distinctly says it's an abomination.
God, thank you for your call, Rich.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry to cut you off like that. I thought you were done. I appreciate your call, Richard. You're exactly right. Now, to call this an illness, I think, is using the word illness too loosely. This is a choice. An illness is something that a person can't help, like he gets sick with the flu or he gets cancer. That's something he can't help. That's not the way homosexuality is. Homosexuality is a choice, and it's something that's unnatural. This is something that homosexuals are not born that way. You remember we read in Romans chapter 1, I think three times it says that it's unnatural. One place says they change the natural use, it's against nature, they leave the natural use. This is not something that they're born with, but it's a choice. They choose to do this. Yes, they become perverted in their desire somehow through environment, circumstances, but it's not anything they can't help. They choose to do that as the last caller said, just like a person can choose to be a pedophile. And as Leviticus 20 said, or Leviticus 18 puts it in the same category with having relations with an animal. A person is not born that way. He chooses to do that. It's a perverted desire. They're not born that way. It's not exactly an illness. That's using the word illness too loosely. It's a choice, and a person chooses to sin, and it's condemned by the Bible. Phil from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is this. Do you believe that the government will try to force churches to perform gay wedding ceremonies? And if so, how do you think they'll go about this?
Well, Phil, I'm not exactly sure, but considering the way our country goes, it always seems to me, in my 54 years, it gets worse and worse. Considering that, it wouldn't surprise me in the least if eventually they tried to force people to do that and said, if you're going to perform heterosexual marriages, you're going to have to do homosexual marriages. Let's hope it never comes to that. Right, Phil?
I hope so, but I believe that may happen sooner than most of us want to think.
Yes. We're going to have to, if that happens, we're going to have to be willing to stand for the truth. And in some ways, we have it easy now in standing for the truth. Hardly any persecution now for standing for the truth. But if what you're saying comes true, then there may be some persecution for all of us out there who are opposed to homosexuality, are willing to stand up for what the Bible says and say this is a sin, that we cannot condone it. Thank you for your call, Phil.
Thank you.
Let me mention something while I'm thinking about it. One of the reasons we do this program, you remember I mentioned John 8:32, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Only the truth will make us free from sin. All these different churches teaching different things about homosexuality or anything else, they can't all be right. 2 + 2 cannot equal 4 and 5 at the same time. So we emphasize Bible study. Study the Bible for yourself. Don't accept what I say or anybody says, but study the Bible for yourself. And that's why we offer free home Bible studies. Tonight, what I'd like to do is give you my cell phone number and my email address. And I'd like for you to call me or send me an email after the program anytime during the week if you would like to have a Bible study over the phone or over email. Of course, we could do it face-to-face if you live near me, but assuming that you don't, we'll do it over the phone or over email, your preference. Now, my cell phone number, write this down, is 256-682-9753. That's Patrick Donahue at 256-682-9753. My email address is BibleCrossfire@email.com. You give me a call or text me, that's a cell phone, or send me an email. We can have a Bible study at your leisure whenever it's convenient for you. We'll try to keep it under an hour, free of charge, of course, over the phone, over the email, whatever you prefer. Steve from Madison, Wisconsin, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Well, this is actually my comment. Is whenever a lifestyle is not compatible with God's ways, okay, that lifestyle seeks approval of man, and they do it in the name of tolerance. here's the problem. As Christians, tolerance and compassion are not compatible, because tolerance only leads them into eternal damnation and death, whereas compassion says, I love you, your sin is keeping you from God, and we would like to share with you the truth of God. And the problem is it enrages them, because they realize if they have to trade their lifestyle for godliness, what they so much take pleasure in, they can no longer do. So they seek, you know, man's approval on such things.
Steve, I couldn't have said it any better. Thank you so much for that call. Steve is exactly right. That a lot of people think that if we love somebody, we won't say anything negative to them. But if we really love this gay person and we understand that that sin is going to cause him to lose his soul, if we really love him, we're going to try to help in a loving and kind way. We're going to try to correct him. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love. So if we really love a person, we're going to speak the truth to them. Even if it's, quote, a negative thing to them, even if it means you need to stop this sin, we're going to tell them that because we love them. And if we let them keep on going like they are and end up being lost because of it, then that proves that we really don't love them. We don't love them. I like the way Steve put it. Crystal from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, go ahead with your Bible question or comment.
My comment is on, you're speaking on the topic of having homosexual ceremonies, wedding ceremonies in churches. And as the law stands, as one of the board of directors of my church, as the law stands now, we as the church needs to make sure that their bylaws and their regulations and their constitution states and have scriptural background for why they are opposed to homosexual wedding ceremonies and other activities in their facilities. This way that the government cannot come against that. They cannot make you do something that's against your religious belief and against you are listed as a, especially ones that are 501c3, should I say, 501c3 nonprofit organizations. We need to make sure that our your bylaws are clearly state what you believe and what you do not believe as far as relates to homosexual weddings and ceremonies. That way, when people, some of the churches are losing these court cases because their bylaws don't specifically state, and it's not specifically stated in their bylaws and their constitutions that this is what they believe and that, you know, this is what they're against, and these are the scriptural backgrounds for that. So I just encourage all churches to attend these church conferences, these IRS conferences, especially if you're 501c3 non-profit organizations. That way you can be aware of the laws and you are aware of your rights as a religious organization.
Thank you for your call, Crystal. You know, the congregation I worship with has as its bylaws the New Testament, the Bible, and it's clearly stated in the Bible what we believe about homosexuality. We read Romans 1, we read Matthew 19, we read in the Old Testament, and we're going to read a few more passages after the break that condemn homosexuality. But I'm not 100% sure that that's going to stop the government from trying to force their way into this situation. Let's pray about it and hope that that's the case, that they'll continue to allow us to preach and stand for the truth on this. Now, remember, only the truth will set us free from sin. John 8:32. So that we're going to have to practice the truth, believe the truth on this and every other biblical issue if we expect to be saved from our sins. We cannot compromise on this or any other issue. Remember, if you want that Bible study, give me a call sometime this week at 256-682-9753 or send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com. BibleCrossfire@email.com. We'll catch you after the break. We appreciate you listening again to Bible Crossfire tonight. One of the callers mentioned about possibly this being a cultural matter. You know, as I mentioned in John 16:13, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would guide the apostles into all truth. Guide the apostles into all truth, not etiquette. He didn't say we're going to guide you into etiquette, but into all truth. It's not a cultural thing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25 says, the word of the Lord endureth forever. So the Bible, as it's written, was intended to govern us in religious matters till the end of the world, for all time. not it's going to change based upon what the culture of the day is. What's really happened is that the Bible sets down the law. Our culture is not willing to live by God's law, and so they try to change our society. They try to say gay marriage is acceptable when the Bible condemns it, always has condemned it. It's going to keep on condemning it to the end of the world. Culture cannot change that. That's just people who are not willing to live by God's word. I said we would get into some more New Testament passages on this topic. Let me mention the number to call is 1-877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or comment on this or any other Bible topic. We're reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. There, the Bible says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? By the way, I'm reading from the New King James Version here. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, neither homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now that's, I'd say, probably 5 or 6 or 8 times in the New Testament we have a list of sins like that. Here's another place that lists sins: fornication, idolatry, drunkard, a person being a thief. It lists homosexuals and sodomites. It says these people will not inherit the kingdom of God. They can't be saved. They won't go to heaven. And when I say they can't be saved, that doesn't mean they can't repent and get forgiveness. I mean that they, as long as they continue in that sin, they will not be saved. It says homosexuals and sodomites. And you might think, well, isn't that, why is that word in there twice? Isn't that the same thing? Actually, there's two different Greek words here. I'm not a Greek expert, but the first one that's translated homosexuals, that's the Greek word that describes the, in the homosexual role, especially in the male to male, and I assume it's the same with the female. One of the partners, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I have, one of the partners seems to take on the masculine role, and one of the partners seems to take on the feminine role. And that's this word, homosexuals, describes the one in the gay relationship that takes on the feminine role, the one who's the receiver. He is in the position of sort of like the female. He's the less aggressive person. The word that's translated sodomites here in the New King James Version describes the homosexual that takes on the male role in the relationship. So in that role, there, in that sin, for example, gay marriage, there's two different roles. One's sort of taking on more of the male role, one's taking more of the female role, and both of these are condemned by this verse. Homosexuals, sodomites, both of them are condemned by this verse. Daniel from Virginia, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment. It's something, if we go back in, you know, way back in our early, the early 1900s, we still, as churches in general, believed in the lady's head veiling. And if I look at that passage in 1 Corinthians 11, I see also there that it's one man and one woman. It gives us the order of creation. We actually believe that God made a man out of the earth, and from that man he took a rib and made a woman. And I believe that's one of the main things that the head covering or the head veiling on a lady and the lack thereof on a guy, on a male, is actually portraying. So I think that's one, someplace, that's where, if we go way back, one of the first things that we missed, flying the flag of that truth has been lost in many Christian circles. And I believe that's why we're even facing this problem that we have.
I agree with you, Daniel. Thank you for your call. We cannot overlook any passage in the Bible. And as I said, the Bible as a general rule is not a cultural thing. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 2 through 16, teaches that the woman should be covered when she prays or prophesies and have long hair all the time. We appreciate that call. The point that he was making reminds me, I brought this up 2 weeks ago, and that is, and I think what he was saying is that when we compromise on any particular issue or lose some truth, it's going to encourage the same thing to happen on other truths later. And I think that's happened especially in the case of churches allowing people to divorce and remarry and still be considered faithful Christians. 100 years ago, churches didn't allow that, but they've gradually allowed that, and I believe that's been one of the primary factors. I don't know if it's the main factor, but a primary factor in churches then later starting to accept gay marriages. Let me read you a quote from a preacher named Ken Wilson. He's the preacher for a very large church, and his church, through his leadership, recently has accepted gay marriage. They've made the change. They didn't used to accept gay marriage, but they have, and here's how he explained it. This is a quote from Ken Wilson. He says, "I have proposed a path for these pastors that allows them to embrace people who are gay, lesbian, and transgender, and to accept them fully, welcome and wanted, into the company of Jesus. I wrote a letter to my congregation when I realized my views had changed and I needed to communicate the intense theological, biblical, pastoral, and spiritual process that I had been through to get to this new place. It began with a burr beneath the saddle of my conscience." And here's, listen carefully here. "Why was I willing to let so many divorced and remarried couples know that they are welcome and wanted while refusing that same welcome to gay and lesbian couples? How could I say to the remarried couples whose second marriage was clearly condemned by the plain meaning of Scripture, 'You are welcome and wanted,' while saying to the two mothers raising their adopted child together, 'I love you, but I hate your sin'?" This is kind of like the two wrongs make a right kind of attitude. Mr. Wilson saw that the church he was a member of and himself had been accepting these divorced and remarried couples when the second marriage was clearly condemned by plain meaning of Scripture. They had accepted that for years, so how could he accept those divorced and remarried heterosexual couples and not accept the gay marriages? And the answer is he should have been not accepting the divorced and remarried couples to begin with. But our program 2 weeks ago was on that, and I don't want to beat a dead horse. But the last caller makes a good point, is that when over time, as we quit preaching the truth, quit standing for the truth on any issue, then it's going to make it that much easier to quit standing for the truth on another issue. That's Mr. Wilson. That's what he's saying. This church was not standing for the truth that if a man divorces his wife except for fornication and marries again, he commits adultery, Matthew 19, verse 9. And since they weren't standing for the truth on that, they were allowing people to divorce and remarry. Now they're allowing people to be in adulterous marriages and be considered faithful members of the church, performing the wedding ceremonies for people who are entering into adulterous marriages, second and third marriages. Why couldn't they do the same for gay marriages? That's Mr. Wilson's point. I guess, of course, the Bible would teach that both things are wrong. Don't marry somebody who's entering into an adulterous marriage or a homosexual marriage. Dan from Sioux City, Iowa. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Patrick. I'd sure like to call you on your cell phone sometime and talk to you in length because of time, but that's all right. Hey, listen.
I want you to do that. The number is 256-682-9753. Okay, go ahead, Dan.
I got it. Listen, I've committed adultery. I'm an adulterer, and my wife knew it. I confessed to her, and she forgave me. My marriage is solid. Right?
Good.
Now,
yes, sir, that's good.
The homosexual can be forgiven also, like Paul says, which you once were, but were washed. Here's my dilemma. I'll try to make this short. I have a really, really close family member, an in-law. They got deceived into getting married out of the military. All right? Then they got pregnant. Are you still there?
Yes, Dan, we're still here.
Okay, I'm traveling, so I could lose my signal. But anyway, after they got pregnant, she wanted a divorce. He didn't want a divorce. He loved her. But she turned out to be a lesbian. Okay, now in the mix of this, while divorce proceedings, he moved in with his best friend, who was married. Turned out that they were having problems. So they fell in love. He fell in love with his wife that he moved in with, stole away, lived together for a while, remarried her, and then married her. And at the same time, about the same time, his first wife got married in Minnesota to her lover. Now, they go to the, they have their wedding reception at a gay couple's, at their house. It used to be his house. Well, I mean, can you believe, I mean, this, and I try to, I can't comprehend it. And they claim to be Christians. They claim to be Christians. As a matter of fact, here's the issue. They have a little boy that's 7, 8 years old, maybe 9 years old now. He's living with mom and dad and his new wife, which was his best friend's wife at one time. But the little boy is going to a parochial school, a Lutheran school, and the Lutheran church doesn't say nothing about it. Did I get you all confused?
Yeah, there's a long story there, but I understand that churches are not saying anything about it. Dan, we appreciate your call. Now, I'm going to announce that number again, not for you, because I know you already have it, but I want to mention to everybody.
When's a good time to call you? I want to talk to you.
I tell you what, you call me just about any time. I live on Central Time. Call me any time, and we'll figure out a time to talk, okay?
I want to talk to you. Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Bye. Let me mention that number again. I'm offering to have Bible studies with people by phone or email. Call me on my cell phone at 256-682-9753. Patrick Donahue's my name. Or my email address is BibleCrossfire@email.com. Now, Dan brought up a good passage. We had brought up 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, how it condemned homosexuals and sodomites. Verse 11 says, "And such were some of you." The point is that these people have been fornicators and idolaters, and they've been homosexuals. But when they were converted to Christ, when they started following Christ, they gave that up. This is past tense. Such were some of you. They didn't keep on being homosexuals. A lot of homosexuals say they're born that way, which contradicts Romans 1, and they can't stop. But this passage says that these homosexuals stopped being homosexuals, just like the fornicators and the thieves stopped committing their sin when they became a Christian. It can be stopped. It has to be stopped. Dan mentioned that he was committed adultery against his wife, and his wife forgave him. He repented of that. He quit doing that. That's what homosexuals need to do. They need to repent of their sin, their sexual sin, and get out of that and quit doing that. If they'll do that and repent, they can be forgiven. Such were some of you. That means a homosexual can stop his practice and do what the Lord wants him to do. Brian from Jackson, Mississippi, go ahead with the Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, my only comment is that comparing the homosexual marriage and the adulterous marriage, they're certainly both wrong. The Bible certainly condemns both. But from the letter that pastor read, my problem with that would be is that, you know, there's grace. You can be forgiven, but to continue in the homosexual lifestyle would be to continue in the sin.
What about Brian to continue in an adulterous lifestyle? Would that be continuing in the sin?
Well, I mean, if you got married, you got married. If it happens, it happens. There's grace and there's forgiveness for that. And I don't think that God would call for you to be divorced again. I don't think He'd call you for divorce a second time. And I'm not saying it should be accepted. I'm not saying the church should do it. But I'm saying what's happened has happened. But I think to compare that marriage to the homosexual marriage would be completely different, because the homosexual marriage would be continuing in that sin and continuing to go against what the Bible says.
Thank you for your call, Brian. Thank you for your call. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches about the adulterous marriage. Jesus said in Matthew 19:9, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery." And so Jesus is contemplating a man divorcing his wife and marrying another. They're married, but in that marriage, their relations is adultery. As long as they stay in that marriage, and as long as they continue to sleep together, they're committing adultery every time they do that. That's why they have to terminate that marriage, for the same reason that people in gay marriages have to terminate their marriage, just like the last caller pointed out, because if they didn't, they would be continuing in the sin. A person in this second or third marriage is in committing adultery every time they sleep with their new spouse. Even though it's a marriage, Jesus said it's adultery. They would be continuing in that sin of adultery, and if they want to repent of it and get out, they're going to have to get out of it. You remember we made the point 2 weeks ago from Mark 6, 17 and 18. Now, I'm not saying that Mark 6, 17 and 18 was part of New Testament law, but it illustrates for us what a couple would need to do if they find themselves in an unscriptural marriage according to whichever of God's laws that they're in. Here's what John said to Herod. John had said unto Herod, "It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." Well, I need to start reading in verse 17. Mark 6, 17 and 18. "For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her." Now notice that Herod had married Herodias. So according to our last caller, they need to be sorry for what they had done, but they could stay in the marriage. But that's not how John said it, saw it. It says, "For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." Not just that it was unlawful to marry her, but it was unlawful to have her. That implies that he needs to quit having her. He needs to get out of the marriage. That's what John, who was representative of God here, that's what God, John, expected Herod to do if he wanted to be right with God. He said it's unlawful for you to have her. That means he needs to get out of that marriage. You can't stay in a marriage that's adultery, just like you can't stay in a marriage that's homosexual. Because as long as you stay in it, you're committing adultery or homosexual sin, as the case may be. You have to quit those sins, get out of that marriage, if you want to be right with God. We appreciate you listening tonight so very much. Again, the number to call if you have a Bible question or a comment on this or any other Bible topic, please call us at 1-877-655-6755. One other New Testament passage that condemns homosexuality is 1 Timothy 1, verses 9 and 10. Let me read that. "We also know this," and I'm reading, by the way, I'm reading from the Simple English New Testament. It reads, "We also know this, the law was not made for a good man, but for people who are lawless, rebels, ungodly, sinners, unholy, not religious, father killers, mother killers, murderers, sexual sinners, homosexuals, slave traders, liars, and those who break promises. These and other things are against the healthy teaching as found in the glorious gospel of the blessed God which he trusted to me." So this passage condemns homosexuals along with father killers, mother killers, murderers, the ungodly, the rebels, all these other things, slave traders, liars. They're all condemned. Homosexuality is condemned by this passage very clearly. The New King James Version here, where this translation had homosexuals, the New King James Version has sodomites. The Living Bible has homosexuals. The New American Standard Version has homosexuals. And so the Old Testament and the New Testament condemns homosexuality, condemns gay marriage, just because our government now is trying to force states to marry homosexuals, it doesn't make it right. God says that it's wrong. Josh from Pennsylvania, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Well, you were saying about if a man divorces his wife and, you know, if they remarry, they're going to be in adultery. I've never been married before. My wife was married before. It was pretty brief. Now we're together, and we got two kids right across the road ready for a divorce. Now, is it bad for me to remarry again? Am I committing adultery because I'm with her and she was married before?
Josh, what a lot of these things, we don't have time and we don't want to get too personal on the air. But what I'd like you to do, if you will, I'm going to comment on it, but what I'd like you to do is call me sometime during the week on my cell phone number and let's talk about it in detail. These are personal matters, but my cell phone number, again, 256-682-9753. I'd love to have a Bible discussion with you about this, a Bible study with anybody. Okay, Josh?
I didn't get your cell phone number, buddy, but I'll try to get it next time you say it on the air because I don't have a pen right now.
Okay.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you for your call. Now, Matthew 19:9 goes on to say, I don't think I read this part later, "Whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery." And so, if his wife was put away, or she put away her husband not for fornication, she had no right to marry. And so whoever marries her, which is put away, divorce, doth commit adultery. And so that marriage would be unscriptural if that's the situation. But I did not get into the details enough to know for sure if that was the case. We talked about this in depth 2 weeks ago, and Jesus, what he says is, if you put away your wife except for fornication and marry another, you commit adultery. Adultery is a sexual sin. Every time, even though you're married to that woman, Jesus says it's adultery. Every time you sleep with him, it's adultery. If you want to be right with God, you have to repent of adultery, get out of that marriage, and, if possible, seek reconciliation with your original spouse. Now, the same is true with gay marriage. When two gays, male with male or female with female, when they get married, there's a lot of things wrong with it. But the basic, one of the most basic things wrong with it is whenever they sleep together, they're committing sexual sin. They can't say, well, I'm sorry I got married, but I'm going to stay in the relationship. We can all see that, because they would be continuing to commit the sin of homosexuality. It's the same way with an adulterous marriage. If a man divorces his wife for any reason other than fornication or remarries, that marriage is called adultery by Jesus in Matthew 19:9, Mark 10:11, Luke 16:18, Matthew 5:32. In effect, it's called adultery by Romans 7:2-3. All of these passages teach the same thing. Adultery is a sexual sin. You can't just say, well, I'm sorry I did it, I won't divorce anymore, and continue committing adultery with that wife every time you sleep with her. You have to terminate the marriage. What did John the Baptist tell Herod when Herod was in an unscriptural marriage with Herodias? He didn't just say, it was unlawful for you to marry her, but you could stay in it. He said, it's unlawful for you to have her. That means, if you want to be right with God, you're going to have to quit having her. You're going to have to get out of that marriage. We appreciate you listening so very much this evening. Again, the Bible, the number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 1-877-655-6755. We're about to have to go off the air. Let me repeat again that if you would like to have a Bible study with me or another person, free of charge, of course, via the phone or email or possibly face-to-face if we live close enough together, I want you to give me a call sometime this week, anytime after the program, on my cell phone number, 256-682-9753. That's Patrick Donahue at 256-682-9753 if you'd like a free home Bible study via the phone or email. My email is BibleCrossfire@email.com. Ernest from Texas, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, about gay marriage. Aren't we supposed to love our kids even though they're gay? I mean, who's
yes.
adopting all these unwanted children?
Yes, and if we love somebody, we're going to want the best for them. That's really what love means for another person. We're going to want the best for them.
So
we're not going to want them to be lost. We're going to have to go off the air, Ernest. Thank you for your call. We're going to want the best for them, and so we're going to not want them to be lost. So we're going to tell them in a loving and kind way that they need to get out of the homosexual relationship and get right with God. Appreciate you listening so much this evening. Give me a call at 256-682-9753 if you want the free home Bible study via phone or email. We'll hope to see you next week.